10 years after becoming Haiti's first democratically elected president, Jean-Bertrand Aristide is back in the presidential palace, busily forming his second government. Haitians are hoping their country's hobbled democracy will at last regain its footing. But the much-loved leader inherits a country poorer and more desperate than when he was first sworn in 1991. A decade of coups, corruption, political gridlock, and international isolation have altered the landscape for the worse, and Aristide himself has changed. NPR's Jerry Haddon reports from Haiti's capital, Port-au-Prince.
In the late 1980s, Jean-Bertrand Aristide entered politics from the priesthood. The young Salesian preacher helped a popular revolt end the dictatorship of Baby Doc Duvalier, paving the way for unprecedented democratic elections. Aristide was the people's priest, delivering sermons on dignity and liberation for the poor. In 1990, the people elected him their leader by an overwhelming margin. He brought his religious idealism to office, as evidenced in an interview with Irish television just after he took office.
I tried to read the Bible and to put it in practice. We have to build community as Jesus was used to do. That way God is in you. If I don't love you, I cannot say I love God.
But powerful forces were not impressed. Aristide's ideas on redistributing wealth alarmed the nation's elite. Just 7 months after Aristide took office, the army overthrew him. He went into exile in the United States. Camille Chamer teaches economics at the State University of Haiti. He says the army then set out to destroy the rural peasant groups that brought Aristide to power, killing their leaders and causing 10,000 to flee or go into hiding. In a country dependent on small-scale agriculture, the effect was devastating.
The coup d'état was a total economic catastrophe. The gross national product was reduced by 30%, and the coup leaders, they totally destroyed the infrastructure of the country. It would take, in my estimation, 10 earthquakes or 10 major hurricanes to do what the coup d'état did to the Haitian economy.
Today, the economy has not recovered. Over the last decade, thousands of peasants have left the depressed countryside and flooded into Haiti's overcrowded and slum-filled capital, Port-au-Prince. 9 out of 10 Haitians here work outside the formal economy, selling whatever they can to pay for a day's food. Rosilia Samse hawks secondhand clothes in an outdoor market along a narrow street filled with potholes and sewage.
I have to come to this market because I borrowed money from a loan shark to buy these clothes. I can't just sit around. Selling clothes is the only thing I can do. I had to go to a loan shark because the banks ask for collateral, such as a house.
To default on her high-interest loan, says Samse, is unthinkable. Even for those with steady jobs, life in Haiti has become desperate. With its depleted farmlands and lack of infrastructure, the country now depends on the outside world for most of its food. And the weak national currency, the gourde, has plummeted under pressure from international lenders to implement free market reforms. 41-year-old Josephine Alcede has been cleaning and preparing meals in a local office building for 7 years, but says her hard work doesn't provide enough to survive.
In 1991,
the cost of rice was not too high. With 100 gourde, or about $4, you could feed your family for a day. Today, that's impossible.
When President Aristide was restored to power by a U.S. invasion in 1994, he found his grassroots support network had been destroyed by the military. He wanted to protect the poor, but finally bowed to international demands that he open the economy, lowering protective tariffs and privatizing some industry. Under his handpicked successor, René Préval, international aid began to flow back to Haiti. But the Préval government quickly became mired in infighting, and the aid again dried up. Today, hundreds of millions of dollars in aid remain on hold over last May's disputed legislative elections. A questionable vote-counting method gave Aristide's Lavalas party an overwhelming majority in the National Assembly. Bob McGuire is director of the International Studies Program at Trinity College in Washington, D.C.
It's what Haitians call a casse-tête chinois, or a Chinese crossword puzzle. It gives you headaches to try to resolve it. But you've got the situation here where, yes, the finances are needed. But this is why I said earlier that I think all political leaders of this country, regardless of their stripe, need to pull together so that Haiti can advance. And in doing this, they've got to stop fighting with each other.
So far, negotiations between Aristide and his political opponents have failed. The opposition parties have formed their own government and are calling for new elections, a scenario that appears implausible. As isolated as Haiti has become, with its social and economic infrastructure in ruins, there are isolated signs of progress. In the upscale neighborhood of Pétionville, young middle-class Haitians check their email at a trendy internet cafe called Click123. Co-owner Jean-Pierre Anson believes this is Haiti's future, though he says his first year in business has been tough because Haiti lacks a culture of entrepreneurship.
The biggest hope that we all have is that, if anything, we get back up and that there's some sign of the mind of the people in this country understanding that it's not about starting over all the time. And that in itself demands the conviction that there's more to gain in building on top of what whoever have done instead of destroying it and doing it over. You know, once it's built, once it's here, it's part of the country and enrich it.
Anson says, however, that local officials are trying to enrich themselves through exorbitant licensing fees, making it impossible for him to expand his business. Aristide, in his inauguration speech last Wednesday, spoke in his poetic style of reconciliation among Haitians, of a country in which rich and poor work together for the common good. But unlike his first inaugural speech 10 years ago, a more mature Aristide also outlined a specific strategy for development, sounding much more like a seasoned politician than a priest from a slum parish.
Grâce à nos richesses humaines, historiques et culturelles,
thanks to our human, historical, and cultural richness, he said, we will regenerate our social fabric. To this end, he added, we're focusing on five main programs: infrastructure, national production, education, health, and justice and security for all. Aristide, now married with kids and living reclusively, has pledged to deal quickly with escalating street crime. He's also promised to take on the drug trafficking that threatens Haiti's weak courts and police force. But although poor Haitians cheered Aristide's return to power last week, celebrations were more muted than during his first inauguration. The last 10 years have taken a great toll on the Haitian people, and their optimism has waned. Jerry Haddon, NPR News, Port-au-Prince, Haiti.